This morning, I want to talk about a simple subject, faith. Faith. We recently studied in the Gospel of Matthew about the man that brought his son to Jesus, and Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. The same account is given to us in Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. And the text says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them." He's descending from the mount. "And the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. He asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately his spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.'" Sometimes words are not really necessary when something like this takes place. There are times that I've seen people pray without being able to open their mouths because of the anguish they're in. And here was a young man afflicted by a disease, a demon, if you will, that was debilitating and possibly fatal. He couldn't tell his father how much pain he was in when he suffered. But his father knew without his son telling him. In fact, everyone knew when they saw him. And so the father brought this child to Jesus, desperately hoping for some semblance of help. And he cried out to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us." The text tells us that Jesus was compassionate. He couldn't help but to comment on this man's faith. Jesus' apostles or his disciples had failed to help this man, and it left the man disappointed and doubting. We all have demons in our life, or several to be certain, that we battle with. The demons in our life could be such things as worldliness or any other number of temptations. And sometimes we win those battles and sometimes we lose. I think sometimes far more often we lose those battles than win. But hopefully, like the boy's father, we have enough faith to recognize the weakness of our faith. And we need to remember the origin, where our faith began. It began with God's divine word. Romans 10, verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And we desperately need to reach out to Christ again. And we know, because of our faith, that when we reach out to him, he's going to be merciful. And we need to agree with what Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, complete. He establishes you and strengthens you and settles you." When we're weak of spirit, we need this passage. We need to think about this. Because the God of all grace has called us to perfect us, to establish us, to strengthen us, and to settle us. But when we talk about building our faith, where do we start? Well, we've already discussed and mentioned that we need to start with God's divine word. I want to give you a little history lesson, personal history lesson, a little biography. And I'm not giving you this to say that I'm perfect by any means, because my story is going to fit a lot of you. But my parents and grandparents were all Christians. I'm third, possibly fourth generation Church of Christer, as some would say. And there's only been probably a handful of Sundays in my life that I was not either at services, or if I wasn't there, I was prohibited by health or my job. I remember one time having ACL surgery, and when I finally made it back to the services, the elders wanted me to go up front and teach the class. And I said, I can't stand. And they said, we'll give you a stool to sit on. And I had to decline. I said, I'm going to sit in the back and throw my leg up on the bench. But I remember being taught very early on. I remember going to Main Street, the old flower shop that's there now, and turning around on the wooden pews and looking out the windows. They had sheer curtains up when 231 was just a two-lane highway. I remember going to El Bethel when it was a gas station converted into a church building. And I remember going in those classes and sitting at a picnic table in one of those classes and my Aunt Margaret Mills teaching. And I remember learning early on who created this world that we live on. And I remember being taught from a very early age who built the ark and why it was built. And I remember very young who climbed that sycamore tree and Jesus says, come down, I'm going home with you. I remember. And through the progress of time, I began to realize from teaching that Jesus died for my sins. I didn't really come to a full grasp of what that meant until I was 11 years old and obeyed the gospel. Steve Patton was the preacher, and Guy McDaniel was holding a meeting. I was sitting on the front pew with Steve, and I leaned over and touched him on the leg and whispered in his ear, I'm ready to be baptized. I remember those. And now, decades later, I can look back and see that there has been a progression of faith in my life, and I'm sure you can see the same thing in your life. Now when I have my own children and now grandchildren coming along, I can relive that experience as well. I've baptized all three of my children. They have been exposed to the truth, and they have been exposed to faithful people along the way that have helped to teach them. And I have been fortunate, like I said, to baptize all three of them. When you come into contact with Jesus, our growth is either sudden or gradual. And all of us have one of those moments where we decide, I believe in Jesus, and I know now that I need to be baptized. You might say it's that aha moment, or the light bulb goes off and you say, I know it's time for me to be baptized. But when we talk about faith, we need to understand that there's only one faith, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 5. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world, what the rest of the denominations in this world teach you, there is only one faith, one truth for you to put that faith in. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 1 that this faith is what gives us substance of hope. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not see. It brings us into contact with the saving power of God's Word. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, saved by grace through faith. And it makes us different from people in the world that don't believe. And it motivates us to separate ourselves from those people who are unbelievers. Sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? But we cannot be associated with people that don't have the same faith. That doesn't mean we won't come into contact with them. Doesn't mean we won't have some association with them. But Paul tells us in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, and who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I'm not saying we can't live in this world. We have to go out into this world. Some of us still work public jobs. We have to go out and be amongst the people of this world, the people that believe differently. Paul would tell us in Romans 12 in the first two verses that we need to be transformed from this world and not conformed. Meaning we have to go out into the world, but we don't have to act like the world. We don't have to live like the world because we have faith in God and it transforms our lives. He would go on at the end of verse 2 there and say that that is our reasonable sacrifice. But there is one hope. And it serves as the foundation of our own personal relationship with God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's where it starts. That's where we begin to build our faith, is in the foundation that Jesus has laid. But just like with any other construction project, when you lay a foundation, you have to progress up. You have to keep building. So how do we grow? How do we grow? I want to suggest to you that there are two categories of mankind. Either a person has faith or they don't. The Bible is constantly dividing us into two categories, and only two. Do you realize that? There's no middle ground. Ironically, when we had the meeting in here last Sunday night before we started, I forgot who it was that was sitting right behind me, but they said something about where I was going to sit because I was the last one getting in there. And they said something about the sheep and the goats. And they said, well, you know, the goats are on the right and the sheep are on the left. And I said, well, that depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Because if you're facing me, you're on the right. You think you're the goats or you think they're the sheep or vice versa. But when I'm looking at you, it's completely opposite. But you know, the Bible does mention sheep and goats. In Matthew 25 and verse 33, as a distinction between two people. People that have faith and people that don't. In 1 John 3 and verse 10, John says that we are either children of God or children of the devil. There's a constant divide. One category or the other. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, that there are those who hear and obey, or those who just hear. Paul says in Romans 3 and verse 22 that we have faith in Christ. You are either a partaker in the faith of Jesus Christ or you don't. There's no middle ground ever described in any of these. Never. Never, ever, ever does Jesus say, well, if you're not this or you're not that, you can straddle the fence. He never said that. He said you got to pick a side. Paul would talk about in Romans 6 that whoever you choose to serve is who you make yourself a servant or a slave to. If to Christ, then to righteousness. If to the devil, then to sin. Who do you choose to serve? That's what your faith is about. How you grow your faith. We are admonished to grow in our faith. It's not enough, as some would say, to just get wet. Just be baptized and think you've got your ticket punched and all is just a coaster now ride to heaven. There's more to it. There's more to being a Christian than that. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, faith is listed there as one of those attributes that describe Christians. And we understand from the teaching of the Bible, especially in 2 Peter 1, that faith is not to be stagnant. You understand what I mean by that? We are constantly supposed to be growing, moving. A pool of water. When I watched the old westerns, they would always send somebody out ahead on a cattle drive. And they'd mark a pool of water and say, it's stagnant. We can't have the cattle or the horses drinking from that. It's poison when it becomes stagnant. Our faith cannot become stagnant. We've got to constantly be moving. Fresh water is constantly moving, providing more fresh water. And that's what they would always look for the source of nourishment for these cattle in their cattle drives. If my faith is not constantly growing, then I have become stagnant. I have become poison, in essence. And what good am I then? God wants us to grow in our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Notice, it says he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you constantly moving? Are you progressing? Are you growing in your faith? Or have you become stagnant? I think the key to all of this, when we talk about our faith, is that we look to see how faith is generated in the very first place. What was going on in your life when you had that light bulb go off and you say, I know, I believe in Jesus. I know I'm ready to be baptized. What was going on at that time? Was it just a little flicker and you say, yeah, I guess I better be baptized. People will leave me alone now. Something was going on in your life. As we said a moment ago, Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Years ago when I worked factory work, I'd have to take a hearing test every so often because of all those loud presses, you know, coming down and stamping that metal. And I'd go in there and I'd face away from the girl and they'd start doing that test and I'd do this and this and this. And they'd come out, I'd come out and they'd go, oh, you passed the flying colors. I said, my wife says I don't hear very good. And they said, well, they call that selective hearing. You hear what you want to hear. I wonder sometimes if Christians haven't gotten that way when it comes to hearing the Word of God. We hear what we want to hear. And if that is truly the case, then I wonder if we are not becoming stagnant in our faith. Because certainly we're not growing if we're just selectively listening to what we want to hear. And we can only begin our walk by listening to God's Word. The complete God's Word. The whole counsel of God's Word. And that seems reasonable enough, don't it? To listen to all of God's Word. I mean, when you think about it, if we're going to listen to all of God's Word, then a stronger faith would be found more by more of the same. If I listen to God's Word, then I'm going to increase in my faith. If I'm going to listen to God's Word, then I'm going to study more. Makes sense, doesn't it? If I'm going to study and listen to God's Word, then obviously I'm going to have more time for God's Word. And believe it or not, more wisdom in making application to God's Word. Faith. Where do we start? At the beginning. How do we grow? By listening to God's Word. But what about the finished product? James tells us in James 1 in verse 4 that by enduring trials we can become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're going to receive everything we need from God. Everything we need to be successful in everything else. In fact, that's what 2 Timothy 3 in verse 17 tells us. You remember verse 16 says that God's word is inspired or God breathed. And then in verse 17, he says that it's profitable for everything that we need in life to make us complete. He says the man of God may be complete, may be adequate, some say, equipped for every good work. But that's only with God's help. Our spiritual growth is going to proceed until we find ourselves relying on Him in every aspect of our lives. But you know, there are questions that are going to plague people throughout life about their faith. There are people of faith that have questions like, why do bad things happen to us? Did God cause this? Well, your faith is going to help you answer those questions. You're going to have questions like, why are my friends turning on me because of my faith? Well, that answer ought to be obvious, shouldn't it? Because they don't have faith. By the way, if your friends don't see any change in you after you become a Christian, then there's something wrong. Something's wrong. Your friends ought to sit up and take notice, first of all, that you're different. And that you're staying different. That you're growing. You're constantly drawing farther away from them because of your faith in God's Word. Remember Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, which Paul says is our reasonable sacrifice. If the world looks at you and say, oh, hey, you're part of that East Side bunch out there, ain't you? Well, yes, I am. And they've known you for your entire life, and they can't see a difference or a change that's ever been made in your life. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. They ought to be able to look at you and say, you're not the person I graduated high school with. You're not the same. They may even call you derogatory names, like you think you're a holier than thou person. You think you're the only one going to heaven. Let them call you what they want to call you. You keep growing in your faith. What your friends do really shouldn't affect you. Now, granted, I hate to lose friends. You know how many friends I've got left from high school? The first class reunion I went to 5 years after I graduated was at Never Rest Park. They had a potluck dinner. Marilyn can tell you this because we were married at the time. And they all sat there like dead lice falling off of them eating. And I told Marilyn, I said, I think it's time to go. We got done eating. We grabbed her pot. We said bye. And I mean, it was like a rush of wild animals. When we left, we drove around Never Rest Park and slowed down and watched them all. They ran to the corner of the big pavilion there to all the coolers that were stacked up. Can you guess what they were doing? They were waiting on me to leave. Well, I was a damper on their party. I didn't go back to another one until, I think, about 3 years ago. And by then, they didn't care whether I was around or not. They drank in front of me. So I probably will not go back to another one. But you know what? So what if I lose friends in this world because of my faith? So what? I've got those of like precious faith in my life that mean more to me than the people I ever grew up with did. We may question why good people continue to reject the gospel. We asked this morning in Bible class. Talked about old-timey gospel meetings. One I remember, I think Guy McDaniel was the preacher. There was enough people come forward, the first two pews were filled up. He filled up the whole front two. And he told the song leader to lead another verse. And he offered the invitation again while the song leader was singing. And more came forward. The second pew filled up. He told the song leader, says, sing it again. And while the song was being sang, he extended the invitation again. And some of you remember my Uncle Junior, Junior Smith, Ollie. He was there and he had come forward that night. He wound up sitting up here because so many people responded to the gospel. We don't see that anymore. I think because our society rejects the gospel. And it's sad that there are so many good people in this world that reject the gospel. What's even sadder is that there are God's children, people who claim to be Christians, that appear to be rejecting the gospel as well. Another question that plagues people of faith is that we can grow fuller in our confidence in God as the ruler of our lives as well as the lives of mankind. And people don't seem to understand that. But I can have confidence. You know, I don't care if the world turns against me because of my faith. I have God in my life. I have a hope of heaven when this world is over. And in essence, that's all I need. But along with that, I need you. I need you. I need all of us to build our faith, to strengthen our faith, to build on our faith, to grow in our faith. One last scripture in the lesson is yours. The psalmist says in Psalm 22 and verse 28, the New American Standard Bible, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is in control? If you do, then allow your faith to act upon God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard God's word today. What about your faith? Does it cause you to have that light bulb go off and have that aha moment where you go, "I know now, I believe in Jesus, and I need to be baptized right now"? Or maybe that light bulb is flickering and it's saying, I need to make changes in my life because I've already been baptized. My faith has wavered and I need to make changes. I need to come back and energize my faith again by confessing my sins as public as they may be. You know, I had a conversation this week with someone about that very thought. And I said, you know, if you mash your finger in the privacy of your home and you say, as my grandmother used to say, a wordy dird, if you mash your finger and you say something, that's between you and God if nobody else heard you. But if you got out here and you've committed some sin and it's in the police blotter, yeah, that's kind of public. And you need to make public acknowledgement of that. A public confession, as public as the sin is. What about your faith? Are you growing in it? Have you grown to the point where you're ready to put Christ on in baptism? Where you're ready to confess sin of wrongdoing? If you're here this morning and need to respond,